First up, this week saw new heights in federal parliament as deliberations intensified nearing end of year. While Australia's environmental protection reform remains in the spotlight, the Nationals have backflipped on net zero amid mounting discussion on the looming social media ban and more. I spoke with National Radio News political reporter Noah Seckham for deeper insights into Australia's shifting political debates. So I'd like to first of all discuss something that's been on the minds of a lot of people, which is the social media ban coming up in December. Communications Minister Annika Wells announced, from my understanding, midweek that Reddit and Platform Kick will now be included in the ban. Are you able to give us some insight into the response from Shadow Minister Melissa McIntosh?
Well, yeah, Melissa McIntosh has kept up a lot of what we've heard from the coalition so far, where they're not convinced that the government's going to be able to see the bill through and the actual social media ban to completion, which it's due to take effect in just over 1 month. So December 10th is D-Day for this policy. And the main criticism is that we are seeing this list of apps to be banned still being updated at such short notice and quite close to the actual date that it'll take effect. But we did hear from the eSafety Commissioner, Julie Inman-Grant, earlier this week, saying that, you know, this list will never be static. It will always change as different platforms develop different technologies and add different features to their products. So we can't expect that every app that's on there now will be on there forever and that others won't be added later. So there's certainly a lot of concern that there won't necessarily be much notice given to parents necessarily.
And, you know, there have been ongoing discussions and pushback from, you know, some advocates as well, especially around vulnerable communities, particularly children with disabilities receiving calls to receive exemptions. Are there any developments here or any insight that you can offer on this component?
Well, it's worth noting that some of the platforms that aren't being included are those messaging first sort of platforms. Something like WhatsApp is being exempted because it's just a messaging site, not a social media platform in its own definition. So the Minister and the eSafety Commissioner have been trying to say that the ban won't be impacting the ability for communities to form and to communicate with each other. It's more this open plane of content and sharing and being exposed to the internet and all sorts. They're trying to say that this won't impact minorities and groups that really do rely on the internet to connect with each other. But again, it is hard to say at this point.
Moving on to another significant discussion, Australia's national environmental law. So from what I can see, it's been heavily criticised. My understanding, it was recently announced that it won't include a climate trigger. And Environment Minister Murray Watts talked around this need for delivering a balance between environment and business. Can you elaborate further on what is meant by this?
Well, it's certainly been the Minister's view that this act, that the reform to the act that the government has presented in the last week, does strike that balance by, it's got the three pillars to it, one of them being streamlining approvals processes. And this was something mentioned in the productivity roundtable a few months ago, which essentially everyone could agree that it's better to get to a yes or a no for a project sooner. So if it's never going to be possible to develop on a certain piece of land because of the environmental consideration, that should be conveyed a lot quicker. So the minister is trying to get that sort of idea across in this bill. The unfortunate thing is that the legislation is made up of about seven different bills and three main parts, and it is over 1,500 pages long. So it's absolutely massive and quite impenetrable because it is very dry reading, of course, being legislation. And again, we only got this last Thursday. So a lot of the crossbench MPs who are typically, you know, advocating for stronger climate action and environmental protections, they came forward earlier this week saying we can't support it simply because we don't have time to say that this is a good piece of legislation, that it does strike that balance. They simply haven't been able to see that for themselves. So they were the first to say they wouldn't support it through the lower house. The bill has passed through the House of Representatives because Labor does have that majority, but it's likely to get quite stuck in the Senate, where it's falling right down the middle of the coalition and the Greens. As you mentioned, a lot of environmental groups aren't thrilled with the direction that it's taken and aren't convinced that it's protecting environment. A lot of people have mentioned carve-outs for industry and something called the national interest test, where essentially the government can decide whether or not something's in the national interest, and then it doesn't need to face as much scrutiny in environmental considerations. And what national interest means, we don't actually really know. It could be defence projects like AUKUS. It could be housing. We know there's the shortage that the government is keen to address. And so there's a big kind of confusion and question marks around that, as well as increased ministerial powers. So it will go to a Senate inquiry to report early next year, but there is still a risk that the government could strike a deal with either the Greens or the Coalition and get the whole thing through at the end of this year, which the final week to do so is at the end of this month. But at the moment, it's a bill that doesn't really have any supporters except for Labor themselves. So it's going to take a lot of negotiating behind closed doors before we actually see any real movement on it.
Now, moving on to another area that has been in debate and caused significant controversy, the freedom of information laws, from my understanding, passed the lower house. There were initial concerns around decreased disclosure. How are these further reforms set to impact potentially the public's right to know or broader concerns of transparency?
So yeah, the Freedom of Information Act, as it is essentially a piece of legislation that gives you the right to request access to government-held information. It's particularly used by investigative journalists to find out the reasoning behind decisions made for certain pieces of legislation and, you know, other dealings that ministers and MPs have. What the government has brought forward, though, is a bill to strengthen it, as they say, which would include introducing a fee for this process, unless you're asking for your own information that the government has. Obviously, journalists, we love talking about ourselves. So a lot of the reporting has been concerned about the right to information for the media to then get that out. The Coalition has actually jumped on this as well and said that it's a breach of transparency, that the government is hiding more than it's allowing to get out. And the government has said that this is born out of a flood of requests. They blamed Russian bots, AI models, clogging the system. But at recent Senate estimate, Green Senator David Shoebridge asked, is this the case for many departments? And he wasn't given an answer that suggested this actually was what was happening. It comes in part of this larger criticism of the Albanese government that they're not responding to freedom of information requests. If they are, they're redacting a lot of it. It comes as the government is also facing criticism for not respecting other processes within Parliament itself. So the Senate is a place where they can request for documents to be released. And the government lately has been resisting a lot of these, saying that it falls under cabinet in confidence, so they can't release it for security reasons. Again, the Coalition, the crossbench are all against this excuse, saying that they can't just keep abusing that to not come clean on processes, inquiries, reviews and investigations that are happening that need to be passed on to the public. So it's part of a broader debate, and it'll be interesting to see if this will pass Parliament in its entirety. But for now, the Coalition is certainly not joining Labor's side to try and get these reforms across.
Again, thank you for that. Now, just lastly, it's obviously been a hugely busy time nearing the end of the year. We're in a very unique social climate, particularly this year. It's been somewhat pivotal. With these significantly formative discussions happening at a parliamentary level, do you believe that politicians or our political leaders are connecting with people? Are our communities being heard from what you can see?
Well, it's certainly interesting to see how the political debate has already shifted so much since the election in May. In the lead up to the election, there was all this talk of, you know, cost of living reform and increasing, you know, social security payments to make sure people could get by, the electricity rebates, you know, these sort of things that would directly impact every household to make life a little easier. That was the focus. But now that we're back full into the swing of passing legislation and certainly trying to get a lot of controversial legislation across the line in this first year of the new parliament, it feels as though some of those issues that were raised at the election have kind of fallen behind. Even just this week, we heard from Food Bank trying to ask the government to move on a small tax reform, but we know that the government's not really keen on doing too much before the budget next May. There is a sense that perhaps this is not what anyone is on the ground worried about. And we're seeing the infighting with the coalition as well over net zero, and polling numbers this week showing that the opposition is falling to its lowest support in 40 years. There's certainly something to be said about the internal politics, the focus on the argy-bargy of essentially just a workplace in Australia, but it happens to be one that we've all voted for. So it's certainly not been as community-driven, I suppose you could say, in the last few weeks, and it's unlikely to change as we head into the end of the year.
National Radio News political reporter Noah Seckham speaking with me.